There, we have a theme
There.
song.
Yeah, that's, yeah.
We have Shelby singing to herself.
Was that what that was? Was that our theme song? Is this my podcast voice? I don't know. I don't know. We'll see, though. We'll see.
We'll see. Maybe it is. I don't know. So far, mine is just a giggly mess. So we should say hello to the mystery people listening to us.
The mystery people, you mean the audience that you have created, that you've created this buzz and this anticipation, and here we are.
Here we are. Woo! I am Rhiannon.
And I am Shelby.
And here we are. We are super lateys. We really probably would have had this. We probably would have had this podcast up a month ago if we could think of a name.
That is true. Or if I could have downloaded Skype sooner. You know.
Yes. So for our listeners, lesson number one is Shelby lives in the middle of nowhere.
In the year 1998. Yay!
She spent the past month downloading Skype.
It's true. That's a true story.
Yeah.
True story. So, yeah. So here we are.
Woo. And so we don't exactly know what this is going to be yet, but it's mostly going to be Shelby and I geeking out over things that we discover and geek out about.
Pretty much what we do every day through a text message.
Right.
Right?
Yeah. I feel like my phone would have double storage if Shelby and I didn't text so much, but I can't get myself to delete the conversations.
Is that what's wrong with my phone right now? Is that what's wrong with it?
It's me. Yes.
Okay. But yeah, so this is it. This is what we've been doing for the past, well, over a year now. So.
Yes. Yes. And so? Just a warning. I'm going to start out with a warning in case anybody our friend Lauren is listening to this in the car with their kids. We might cuss. We're going to cuss.
Yes. We will cuss.
Yeah.
I will cuss is what she means.
Yeah, we're heavily inspired by Kevin Smith. And that fucker cusses a lot.
Yeah, this is going to be fucking titties. Is what this podcast is going to be. Fucking yes. Tits and cock.
Yes.
Okay, we got that out of the way.
Woo, yeah, I'm glad. I would just hate for anybody to be listening in the car. Oh, hold on. All right, so.
Yeah, so.
I thought we would start off by, well, one, talking about who we are. And the concept of the podcast is mostly just Shelby and I talking about our geeky things. But we're not average everyday geeks. I don't think.
No, we are not. We're super awesome late geeks, but yeah. that's my story. I'm late, super late to everything, maybe except fandom, the idea of fandom. Other than that, I jump on the fandom pretty late, though, always.
Yeah. Well, and that's the cool thing about Daredevil is that we were early. Well, no, I mean, we were 50 years late into that fandom.
Yeah, we're not early at all. No.
But for the TV show.
For the TV show, we were pretty much on time, I think.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it was one of those things that you knew was coming and you wanted to be, excited about it. And you're like, maybe. And then when that first full trailer came out, or maybe it was even the teaser trailer, I don't remember. That's when I was like, oh, shit, yeah. I'm in. I'm all in. Yep. Yeah. So.
I wasn't all in.
I know you weren't. I know.
I was like, Shelby, shut the fuck up. I am so tired of you talking. At least you're not talking about Peaky Blinders anymore. But now you've moved on to this next obsession, and it's another one that we're going to have to listen to you talk about over and over and over.
I was trying to tell you. I was trying to tell you what I knew. Charlie Cox, and I knew. I just knew. See? And look, a year later. I know. Say it.
You were right? Is that what I'm supposed to say?
Yes.
Shelby, you were so right. I still haven't watched Peaky Blinders.
That's okay. It has been renewed for seasons 4 and 5. You will have plenty of time. It comes out on Netflix season 3 tomorrow. There you go. Peaky Blinders plug. Peaky Blinders. You don't fuck with the Peaky Blinders. Yes. There we go. See?
But Daredevil, I did get in. I did. So I was tired of you talking about it and told you to go read. I was like, there's Daredevil shit out there. You should go read it.
Well, I'm trying to remember the exact when I started reading fanfic. Fanfic. Something I feel really, oh gosh, weird about reading fanfic.
Yeah.
But I was desperate and I did not want to start reading comics, not because, oh, you know, I'm too good to read comics or I think it's stupid or lame. I just didn't want to start another thing.
Right.
And I knew if I started this thing, it would be another thing. It would be a really huge thing. But what did you do?
I made you do it.
You made me do the thing.
I made you do it. I mean, it really was. You were so right. I mean, my dad said, don't experiment with heroin because you know you'll be addicted. And see, I didn't think I would be addicted. It surprised me that I liked them when I read them.
It's just different. That's all I could say to anybody. And look, you can be a fan of the show and not read comics. You totally can. There's plenty of people I know that watch the show that don't read the comics. But it's so much more when you read the comics.
Yeah.
And now I'm one of those snooty people that says, but in the comics, it happens like this.
Yeah.
In the comics. Oh my gosh. They're so good.
So for anybody listening that isn't reading the comics, the Trail of Addiction led where like Marvel has a few free ones on their website. Like, you just go to Marvel, and you can get some free comics. And there were, Daredevil there.
Yeah, and all the time. I mean, they're probably different, not even Marvel. Comixology probably has a few from time to time to download for free. Marvel Unlimited. Oh, God.
Well,
oh,
yeah, so we did the free ones, and then I was like, this is pretty cool.
Just take all my money, Marvel. So it's just that sometimes they also have a free month that you can totally try it out for a free month.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Go ahead and follow us on Twitter, and we will be sure to share with you when they have the free months.
Yes.
Or Shelby will, because Shelby's really good at disseminating that type of information. But even if you pay for Marvel Unlimited, it's only like $10 a month.
$10 a month of...
For $10, like I read about 200 comics in one weekend.
Yeah, I was trying to do the math and figure out how many I had probably read in the past year.
Yeah.
And Jesus, I don't know. Like, so many. And they're always right there to go back and read over and over. And yes, here's my thing. When I really do love an issue, I do want to go buy it like 5 times. That's my problem. But there are so many that are so good. It's so good. So worth it. So worth it. Because it's not only Daredevil. I mean, you can read right now Immortal Iron Fist. You can read, catch up on, you know, Black Widow, The Avengers, Captain America. I mean, come on.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing, is we've read a bunch of Daredevil, and then we realized there were other worlds out there.
True. And I think, and the thing is, I didn't even start. I think my first, I bought, it's been so long now. It feels like this has been forever. But my first Daredevil comic that I read was The Man Without Fear, which, of course, that's what they tell you. That's what everybody tells you to read. And that's what I read. And I was like, I went to my coworker at work. I was like, this is different. This is not what I expected. This is just. I don't know. I don't even know what the words are.
So you started with Man Without Fear? Because I started with Guardian Devil.
I started with Man Without Fear first. And then I went to the 98 series. Then I went to Guardian Devil. Yeah.
Okay. And that was, and you remember, from that, so we started off, like, Marvel Unlimited, people were like, oh, go read the Man Without Fear series. And I'm like, oh, what the fuck is that? Like, expecting to log into Marvel Unlimited and be like, Man Without Fear series. And it would be like, here's your comics.
Yeah, do you remember us trying to figure it out, all the numbers and the different series that you just, they don't tell you, like, there's series, there's the 63 series or whatever. I can't remember. See?
Well, and so, so for those of you that are listening that haven't, that are like us, that you haven't jumped into Marvel Unlimited, you haven't, like, read the comics, there's different, like, volumes, and they don't even, so, like, people would be like, Daredevil Volume 2, but when you log into Unlimited, it's, like, the 1998 series.
Right. Yeah. It's definitely the 98 through, what is it, 2000 and, oh, Jesus, three or five or something like that.
I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. See, I should know these things.
Right.
Or they tell you, go read the Bendis and Maleev run. Okay.
Yeah. Like, where do you, like, the, and then you go to the app and you're like, do I just open every comic and see who wrote it? And,
well, or I'll tell you what we did. Me and my coworker at work went right to the Man Without Fear website, and there's the whole reading list that tells you from start to finish where to go. That's what we did. And it's still printed out. It's our Bible that we keep at work, and we know where to go next. So that's also a good starting point for anybody who doesn't know where to start.
Yeah. And also, Man Without Fear, I mean, like, they were fabulous on Twitter and everything, because I would just be like, am I reading the right thing? And take a screen cap and, like, tweet it out to them.
Right.
And so nice. Just like, no, you're missing books, or yes, that's what you should be reading, or whatever. They were so helpful. And so if anybody out there is getting started in the comics, you can tweet us screen caps and we can be like, we don't have a fucking clue. But if we do, we would help you.
Or we'll just be so incredibly full of knowledge, you know, and we'll just be wanting to spew it forth at you.
Yeah, but right now we just know Daredevil.
Pretty much. Yeah, I'm definitely, I've read more Iron Fist, and the Immortal Iron Fist is pretty much where it's at right now for me. And I'm still reading the early Daredevil. I'm still making it through that series. So, yeah, who am I kidding? I'm reading about 20 different things at one time right now. So,
yeah. Shelby's being a completionist that's reading Daredevil, like, from the very beginning.
I had to.
I would like to, but one, I don't own the hundreds of comics that Shelby has ordered online.
But listen, there's a while before you get to that point, and they added a bunch, remember? They added a bunch here lately. That's the thing, other two about Marvel Unlimited. They're always adding more to the library, so.
True.
Yeah, I did have to buy, and I'm still buying, pretty much the entire Black Widow series, which they added right after I bought it all. But that's cool. That's cool. And now there's probably maybe 30 or 40 more I have to buy before I get up to maybe the Frank Miller stuff, Bullseye, that kind of stuff. Yeah. But you need to read it just so you can read the Mike Murdock stuff. You have to. You have to.
I don't know if I can handle the Mike Murdock stuff, but...
You can. You'll love Mike Murdock. I'm telling you.
So for anybody that doesn't know who Mike Murdock is, other than the guy passed out on Claire's couch, So the early days of Daredevil are hilarious.
They are. Matt's a funny guy. Matt is a funny guy. And combined with... you know, the colors and the fashion of the 70s, you know, it's a pretty awesome experience.
Yeah. So Foggy, like, sees somebody that looks like Matt being Daredevil or something, right? And he's like, what the hell, Matt? And Matt's like, I'm not Matt. I'm his twin brother.
Mike is the greatest. Mike, and the more that this goes on, the more that he has to be Mike, Matt, and Daredevil at the same time, it's just great. Just imagine that in the show. Can you imagine if we got Mike Murdock in the show?
Well, yeah, no, I really can't.
But it is what I like is it's essentially Matt who never thinks anything all the way through.
Yeah.
Period.
Yeah. One, the two truisms of Matt is that, one, he can't keep his identity a secret at all.
No. No.
I mean, and they're doing pretty good with that in the show, too. Like,
they are.
Everybody knows. And two, he doesn't think things through.
No, I was just having a conversation with somebody about the prison scene from episode 10. And I was like, that's Matt. He didn't think it all the way through. I don't know what his plan was going in. I'm sure it was to push buttons and he just got table slammed and it was great.
Oh, and in case anybody hasn't figured it out, there's going to be Daredevil spoilers.
Yeah, spoilers, comic spoilers, maybe.
We'll warn you about everything else, but we watched the Daredevil season about as soon as it aired.
Yeah, there'll be Daredevil spoilers, possibly Game of Thrones spoilers, Walking Dead spoilers. Spoilers. But that's okay. We'll probably also super late on putting this up, so hopefully...
I don't know how to upload a podcast, so
I mean, you know, it's like this is the show is almost, you know, what, 3 months old now, almost 2.5 months old. So look, I'm sorry.
We do still have a friend that hasn't watched the whole thing, our friend Rachel.
That's who I was talking to about the prison scene, so she finally got up to the prison scene.
Okay. Rachel, but... I'm sorry if we spoil you, but you should have sat your husband down and watched the rest of the season by now.
She wanted to watch more last night and she just didn't have time. So, but she is on episode 11. So hopefully by the time we record the next podcast.
There was also the guy I met at the Kevin Smith show who was watching it with his daughter, an adult daughter, but he was only up to like episode 8 then. So Brian, if you're listening, I hope you've made it all the way through.
Well, my God, that's been a month ago too, right?
So surely. Oh my God, it's been a month. So part of the reason that we have a podcast is that I went to go see Kevin Smith. And a Kevin Smith show, it was just 3 hours of him up on stage being Kevin Smith.
Spreading happiness into the world. That's what Kevin does.
Yeah. Talking about his Walrus movie, his podcasting, and The Flash, and all of that. And the last half hour of the show, I mean, it was a solid 3 hours. The last half hour was just like, all right, for real, why the fuck are you people here?
Yeah.
And he's like, I think you're here because you want to be inspired. Or, you know, that you have stuff in you and you want to do it and all that. So I want you all to go and start a podcast.
Well, if you remember back, like almost the same time last year, what did I tell you in Savannah when we met up in Savannah? Let's do a podcast.
Yeah.
I kept talking about it. But I really didn't know how we were going to do it. And I'm like, can we do it? Should we do it? And then the more, and I started listening to Kevin Smith too. Kevin Smith is just, and Chris Hardwick. I have to give a shout out to Chris Hardwick too. Yeah, because it is. It's just happiness. Those two can make me excited and interested in anything. Pretty much.
So Kevin Smith got me to. Our goal is to be as cool as Kevin Smith and Chris Hardwick.
Yeah. Yeah, we don't want it just to not be shitty. Or if we're shitty, just to be the best at being shitty. I don't know. Something.
Right. Well, I mean, I think that's the other half of Kevin Smith's message is if you're shitty, just smoke some pot so you don't care.
Just keep going. Just keep going. Yeah. And like I said, he got me to watch The Flash. So there you go.
That's true.
I had no plans on watching The Flash. And Kevin and Mark talked about The Flash for a whole entire podcast, and I had to stop it in the middle so I didn't get spoiled. I was like, I got to go watch this. They've made me want to go watch this show, and again, one of the best decisions I ever made, watching The Flash.
Yeah. So, I'm only one season into The Flash, and that's because the other half isn't on Netflix. I mean, this season two. When season two is on Netflix, I'll catch up.
Yeah, it'll probably be on pretty soon. I don't think they play around, waste too much time putting that stuff up there anymore because why? What's the point of waiting? So worth it. Then I've watched Arrow and I've watched Legends of Tomorrow, and so thanks, Kevin.
And we've started a podcast.
I feel like it always goes back to Clerks too. Everything goes back to me for Clerks too.
Clerks too.
I'm fucking bored. Boredom is the first step on the road to relapse. So there you go. We don't want to get bored. We just want to try everything. And just do it.
Yeah.
Just fucking do it.
We're just doing it.
Hey, would you have thought that this time last year we would be, well, your fourth trip to New York City, and I'd be on like planning my third trip to New York City? Really?
True. I would have never dreamed I got you to New York City more than once.
Right.
So dear listeners that do not know Shelby, aside from living in bumfuck nowhere with 1998 internet and her little nowhere life, she's also very scared to travel. And when I first met her, we were like, oh, let's get together. And a bunch of friends of ours, we were all going to get together and go to Washington, D.C. And Shelby was like, fuck no.
Right.
Like, just planning a trip, just talking about details, just the idea of going to an airport gave her anxiety attacks.
And it still does. And it's not flying. People are like, oh, you're scared to fly. No, that's not it. Probably the least scary thing about the whole trip is the flying part. I don't know. The airport anxiety is a real thing. Travel anxiety is a real thing, people.
Truly.
Yeah.
Truly. And I've seen her in an airport a few times now. And she does really good pushing through that anxiety. And now Shelby and I have had two trips to New York City where she seems to really, really be progressing in her ability to travel.
I always think so till I'm headed for the next trip, which we have planned in like less than 3 weeks. And I'm sort of to that freak out point. But hey, just got to do it. Can't give in to the fear, Shelby.
On the other hand, I will just jump in the car and drive 8 hours with no planning.
Yeah, my coworker always says, Rhiannon's my hero.
I've been unemployed for 6 months, but I can still be somebody's hero.
She does what the fuck ever. I love her. That's the key too, people. If you have super anxiety, have friends that just will do what the fuck ever. And then those people will get you to do what the fuck ever. Because they won't stop until you do what the fuck ever.
Yeah.
And it's the best. It's the best.
Well, and you're one of my favorite people to travel with because you're really good at just letting me make all the decisions and not being needy.
Because decisions are hard.
Shelby, we're going to stay in this shit-ass Airbnb in Brooklyn. What do you think?
Okay. Yeah, I don't care. As long as it has a bathroom and a place to, sleep. That's cool.
That first one had a bathroom, but the door didn't close all the way.
Oh, Jesus. See, I don't even remember the first one after the second one.
The first one.
The first one was so hot, we almost melted. But hey, shout out to Airbnb.
So Shelby and I have had two trips to New York City where we have stayed in Airbnbs in Brooklyn. And we really like Brooklyn. And the coolest thing about Brooklyn... The absolute coolest thing about Brooklyn is that Daredevil films there.
The coolest thing is it's the coolest. That's what I don't think people. Hello, can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. My computer's doing something funky again. It's like the connection seems like is going in now. But I think the thing about fandom, when people are like, they'll look at you kind of sideways about fandom, is that it's more than just the show. It's more than just a comic book. There's so much more. There's friendships that are made. There's trips to be taken. There's things to learn from this thing you learn, this other new thing. And it's the whole experience. If you let it just wash all over you, just take it all in.
True. And I think that's, like the stepping through, like you were like, I don't want to talk about fan fiction. And I really don't want to talk about fan fiction because that seems like the one line. But, I have gotten more comfortable with telling people, yes, I went to New York City purely to hang out with people and watch Daredevil. And we have had so much fun on these trips. We have a group of friends in New York that we have met just through the Daredevil fandom and from going out and wanting to see a little bit of the magic happen.
Yeah,
and we've gotten to see a little bit of the magic.
A little tiny bit of the red pants magic happen, yes.
Yeah, but the greatest part of it is that, I mean, I think just as much as the magic is getting to hang out on the streets of Brooklyn with random people.
Who feel the same way you do. That's the thing. You don't have to, you can just be who you are, like right there in that moment. And everybody's just excited about seeing some little snippet or not seeing anything at all as you are. It's just sitting around on the sidewalk, you know, talking about the show. Yeah. And that's pretty much what we did for like, what, a day.
We did a good 2 days at least. So since everybody has seen Daredevil season 2, and really this podcast will be more than talking about Daredevil, but it'll probably be a lot of talking about Daredevil. But this has been our fandom journey.
When it
comes
to
us and comic books, like, we've started with Daredevil and we are moving on. As Shelby said, she's watching Iron Fist and all that. But we were out there when they filmed the scene in the cemetery.
Yeah, we ended up being out there for like big moments. The cemetery, the cemetery scene, which I think our pants got a little wet just at that thought. But anyway, and then when we went back to be there, to know now what scene we were there for between, you know, Fisk and the Punisher, is also huge. That's a huge deal.
Yeah.
And then when you went back and saw all the ninjas, hey.
I did. I saw ninjas. So we had our first trip where we went up and we found them filming, and they were filming outside of a cemetery in Brooklyn. And we just sort of guessed. The first day there were stuntmen there, and I still don't know what they were filming that they had stuntmen there the first day.
The only thing I can think that they were filming, they had to have been off filming that the fight scene between the Irish and the and Frank is the only thing I can figure.
Maybe. Because Bruschi was there, but he was in that fight.
Right, you know, and then Daredevil shows up at the end to, like, help Frank. That's the only thing I can figure they were sort of working on filming, maybe.
Yeah, maybe somewhere back in the cemetery in one of those little creepy areas, the tunnel stuff. Yeah, so the first day they were, like, all the stuntmen and everything were there, and we didn't really... We got there kind of late, and we saw John Bernthal. So there's a recurring theme, and I talked about it on the Defenders podcast last week, too. There was a recurring theme... In seeing John Bernthal, the first time we saw him, he had, like, bruises and stuff all over his face. And I saw him, and I was like, oh my god! Oh my god! Like, that's horrible.
Well, there's something so funny about him just, like, sitting there, all punishered up, you know, all punishered up, like, hey guys, how's it going?
Yeah.
And we're like, it's cool!
And, like, heading to catering, you know?
It's good. I can go home happy now. Yeah, and then we go eat at the KFC. Shout out to KFC. And come back and find them, in front of catering.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's when you really, like, you know.
Oh, was that the second time?
Yeah, yes, that was the second time.
There was the second time I saw John, and they had added blood to his bruises or whatever, and I was like, holy fuck, there's more! And
he John just, his whole face just drops and he glares.
Right. Right. That was the thing. It wasn't like, oh, hey, that looks cool. You know, he really glared at me. And that was the moment I became scared of the Punisher. Like, I am definitely more scared than anybody watching the TV series. Because I have seen that fucker glare at me in person.
Well, especially when you know, like, he stays in full Punisher mode.
Yeah, I didn't know that. Well, I knew that then. But, like, our friends there had met him before and said he was really friendly.
He is. Listen, John Bernthal, if you're listening to this, we do love you. And
holy
we are sorry
shit,
that
John Bernthal's listening.
John Bernthal, if you're listening to this, we're sorry that every time we ran into you, we talked about your fucked up face. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing. We had learned that lesson that first trip.
No, we did.
I had learned that lesson our first trip. And Shelby and I went back to Brooklyn because, like, I had a really shitty year last year. And we were like, let's just go back. And we went back and we're staying there, so we had no idea who was going to be around or whatever. But we saw John again, and he had the Punisher makeup on again. And Shelby goes, holy fuck, your face!
I don't think it was, what did I say? It was something like that. It was pretty much, that was my sentiment, but it was like.
It was like, holy every shit.
Time we, it was pretty much what I just said. Every time we see you, your face is all fucked up.
Yes.
And he went from like, because he'd like give us like the thumbs up like he normally does, you know, and like, you know, and he was being all like, hey, and we were being like, hey, because, you know, we don't run up to him. We're not one of these people who like run up and go, yay. We were standing back being all respectful and stuff. And he was actually trying to initiate the conversation with us. And all I could say was, gee, your face is fucked up.
Yeah.
Again.
So lesson to the world, if you ever get a chance to meet John Barenthal in makeup, don't talk about his bruises. Just be like, hey, man, you're awesome.
Which, if you had probably ran into John Barenthal at any point in the filming of Daredevil Season 2, I don't think there's a point where his face is not fucked up. It's just more or less fucked up. Is it more fucked up than it was the day before or less fucked up?
I mean, that's what, once we watched the season, I was like, oh, it's not that he just had a fight. It's that his face is always fucked up. And we didn't see it at the worst. I mean, imagine if we had run into him when he was getting ready to film that diner scene with Karen, where it's just like his whole face. I don't know what they did with the man's face.
His whole face is purple.
Like the Punisher series, just.
Yeah.
It's going to be him applying eye makeup so that he's good to go out in public.
Oh, God. Bless you, Frank Castle.
Yes.
Frank Castle.
Nothing more than the way Charlie pronounces his name in interviews. Frank Castle.
Frank Castle as the Punisher is the greatest. And then the same day, we see, ta-da, Vincent D'Onofrio.
Yes.
What? I remember turning it to you. You're like, I think that's Vincent D'Onofrio. And I'm like, wait, what? Yeah. Is it?
Yeah. And we could have run up and said something to Vincent D'Onofrio or...
No, we couldn't.
Theoretically, no. We could have, but he scared the shit out of us.
I have never been more frozen in place in my whole entire life.
He scared us. He scared us.
Never. And I still was like, no, that's not no. And then I heard him talk and I was like, yes, that's him.
You didn't think the big bald guy getting out of the...
Was in denial, like, no, he's not supposed to be here.
Yeah. That's so. My rule when we go to these sets is to, like, look at the people coming out of the vans and be like, yes, that's actually a person that we want to talk to. And then it's sort of like I have to convince everybody, because the first time John Barenthal drove up, I was like, oh, that's John Barenthal. And everybody's like, maybe, I don't know. And that we never, great. Like, got to say hi to him out of costume, just, you know, after he was all bruised. Well, that's, and even when that's... Charlie drove up that first day, I was like, that's Charlie. And everybody's like, maybe. And I'm like, fuck all y'all, I'm going to say it hi.
And yeah, he pulls up and I can still see him in the van and I, like, wave at him like, hi. And he's kind of like, okay. Which, nicest person on the planet. Let me get that out of the way. He is everything that you hear about him. There you go.
He totally
and so
is.
Much more.
Absolutely.
So much.
Because when I met him the last time, it was when I took the Greyhound up. And because I was just like, fuck it, I'm going to go to New York. And.
Which is what everybody should do, kids.
Yeah, everybody should just say fuck it and hop on a Greyhound and go to New York. And I had ridden the bus through the night, so I got there at like 9 a.m., and I had gone and checked in, like, I had gotten myself a really cheap Airbnb out in Brooklyn, where I was staying with this nice Turkish couple, and I had just dropped off my stuff there, so I wouldn't have to carry my luggage all around New York, and I went back out, and I mean, I was exhausted, because I didn't sleep very well on the Greyhound.
You were, but I was pushing you through this. Like, just go.
Yeah.
Just go see what they're doing. Just go. What's going on?
So I'm just like standing on a street corner in Manhattan. And like nobody is there. I mean, like, as much as nobody can be there on a street corner in Manhattan. And just a van pulls up and Charlie Cox gets out. And nobody is there. No security, no handler, nothing. And I'm just like, hi, I'm a fan. And oh, that's cool. You know, like, thank you. You know, very, very, very sweet.
He's so nice. He really is. He is so nice.
And we just start walking, like, down the street. And he's, I have nothing to say. I just, all of this, less than 24 hours ago, I had decided to go to New York. And now I'm already on the street with Charlie Cox. And he's just like, hey, what's your name? And I tell him my name. And did you know I was going to be here? And I'm like, kind of. Yeah, I mean, there's ways to know this shit. And I had nothing else to say. So we just sort of walk, because he had to walk to his trailer and everything. And he starts walking, and I could tell he's looking around to see if the handlers or security and all that. And I'm, like, totally trying not to be creepy. But he also kept up the conversation. He's just like, so the weather's really nice. And I'm like, yeah, but I think it's supposed to get colder. And he's like, oh, compared to last year, this weather is fantastic. And
he's hilarious.
I met Charlie Cox the second time, and we just chatted about the weather.
There you go. That's real shit. That's real talk.
Yes.
That's real talk.
Because... And then I met another fan that couldn't get up the guts to say hi to him, and I finally had something to talk to him about. And I'm like, Charlie, this girl's a big fan, and she's never met you, and she's afraid to say hi. And it gave me something to say.
Yeah, because when it's just one-on-one, that would be tough.
Yeah, but... and I didn't have our little munchkin there, too.
The ninja munchkin. Yay!
So one of our best friends in New York is this 8-year-old.
Yeah, she is now eight. Eight, yes.
Yeah, ninja munchkin that you'll see all over the internet. She's the little girl that's in all of the superhero pictures. Because she goes and stalks all the superheroes. But she and Charlie are buddies.
Yeah, so. And she's the best. I would go back up to New York just to hang with her. That's how much I love her. She's that cool. Hello, Suzu.
Hello,
I don't know if you'll get to listen, because there's a bunch of bad words. Bunch of bad words.
Oh God, if Suzu's listening, we gotta stop cussing.
But she is, I don't know if what you see in photos even comes across. She's cooler than that. This kid is the coolest of the cool. So there, she's a for real ninja.
And Shelby's not just saying that because she thought Shelby was in like fourth grade.
Wait, what? I'm not in fourth grade?
Shelby's cool. She's just a couple years older than me.
Yeah, so. we did a lot of hanging out. Yeah, a lot of cool shit.
So that's a lot of our background. How we went very quickly from what the fuck's a comic book to hanging out in New York City with Charlie Cox. But that's
how it happens. That's how quickly it happens. I'm telling you, like, it's no different than you watch a TV show and, ooh, what's that song? Ooh, I like that band. Ooh, I'm going to go see that band in concert. That's how stuff happens if you'll just let it happen.
True.
You know, because our friendship, if we want to even go further back, started on Twitter.
True.
So.
True. Shelby was that crazy person on Twitter that I was like, oh my God, that woman makes such a mockery of herself. Like, chill the fuck out.
And you were the person on Twitter. I was like, she is way too cool for me. I will never be friends with her, but she's funny as shit. Maybe one day, maybe she'll follow me. I don't know. She's kind of famous. I don't know.
I probably didn't follow you for a long time because I'm a Twitter snob. Was. I'm not so much anymore.
I was at one time like following everybody. I've sort of stopped all that because you just can't keep up. It's just too much. Yeah. Or as Charlie likes to call it, the Twitter is probably where I spend most of my time, not on the Facebook. So the Twitter I find is a better place for fandom and hooking up and people like saying, hey, just do this, or hey, read this comic, or, you know, just reaching out and asking people things on Twitter.
That's true.
It's easier. And that's another thing too. This fandom has been. For us to be 50 years late jumping in on Daredevil. Okay, because let's admit, we've all seen the 2003 movie, right? And that was just a bad memory. So we all knew who Daredevil was, but jumping on with this TV show, you did feel like kind of you were jumping on late, and the fandom, the comic book fandom, so nice, so helpful. Everybody, nobody's been like, get the fuck out, go away.
And I actually have a comic book shop while Shelby does not.
No.
And I've just, because there's so much out there about geeks, and I mean, I've watched The Big Bang Theory and stuff, and I don't know, like, there was this preconception in my head that geeks were so, like, condescending and...
Right, that you had to know what you were doing going in. And I talked to my sister yesterday about this, because we pulled up, actually, at a liquor store, and I was like, you know, I feel like going into the liquor store, like I felt like going into the comic book shop a couple times. When really you shouldn't feel that way at all. You really shouldn't, but you do. You have this, you're afraid that you're supposed to know exactly what you want and where to find it. And if you don't, then you're not supposed to be there. And these people are helpful. They will talk to you. They want to talk to you. I want to talk to you. Talk to me about it. Not liquor, because I don't know anything about that, but... comics, talk, let's talk about it.
And that's what, like, I walked into mine and they were super friendly, and I like my little local comic book shop. And like, we've gone into a bunch of them. We've gone into several. We've even gone to Midtown in New York.
The Midtown is awesome, which that's shout out, because that's where I pretty much order all my new stuff from, is Midtown. And then I think the other one is mycomicbookshop.com. It's where I order a lot of stuff. They're out of Texas. Cool people. But the coolest place I think we went to was the one, the little hole in the wall in Savannah that we went to and sat in the floor.
Yes. So Shelby and I knew nothing. I mean, like, it was your first time in a comic book shop.
It really was, yeah.
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 And we went down and we walked into this little, it was a closet. And we're just like, oh my God, here's a box of comics. And we pulled up Man Without Fear on the phone, or I pulled up Man Without Fear on the phone while you went through the box of comic books. And we just sort of read, they had like a recommendations or like crucial episodes, important issues, episodes. And I was whatever. Like, oh my gosh, this is the one where Foggy finds out he's Daredevil. And you would like dig through the box and see if they had it. And it was And, like, the guy behind the counter didn't even seem to care that we just sort of, like, plopped down on the floor and started going through boxes.
We plopped down on the floor and went through the whole box and ended up buying, like, 10, 12 comics, whatever. I don't remember. And went back to the hotel room and read them, like, all in one night.
And Shelby screamed at some point.
So good. So good. There's still screenshots on my phone from that day. It's so good. I'm telling you, people, it's so good. It's so good. You want to throw, when you're through, either read it on your phone if you're doing Marvel Unlimited, or you're reading the actual issue and you have it in your hand, you want to throw it across the room. It's so good.
But no, I think she'll be sitting there and she's reading this comic and she's like, ugh, why did we get this one? And I'm like, because Man Without Fear said
this is where it starts episode. Or this is this or
yeah and she's like reading it and she's like ugh, and she gets to the last page and she's like, oh my God.
And I'm trying not to spoil you because you're like an issue behind. Oh my fucking God. And what did I see, like, one time, oh my God, he can't see himself in the mirror. Oh shit. This is the best shit ever.
That's what Shelby's excitement is, just so contagious.
I hope so. I hope it's not really weird and awkward. I try to, you know, I try to get everybody excited about something daily. Yay.
I mean, this is obviously just like our Hello to the World episode, but what have you gotten excited about this week?
What have I gotten excited about this week? Well, I've already talked about Peaky Blinders, so I'm excited that's coming. I was excited about X-Men. I saw that yesterday, and it was good. I don't know what all the hate on is. Like, I don't know. Listen, X-Men is the one thing I do not claim to be even a halfway expert on. I enjoy the X-Men movies, but that's pretty much it. My sister is the X-Men expert.
I think I'll go see X-Men. I think. Because people are comparing it to the first X-Men movie that came out in, like, 2000.
Yeah.
And I remember watching that one and really liking it.
Well, I have not watched Days of Future Past. I've watched that one. There's one I have not watched.
First
Class, maybe X-Men First Class. I have not seen that one. And there are some tiebacks, I think, to that one that I was a little like, But the movie is entertaining. And that's kind of what I always love about Kevin. He doesn't shit on anything. And to me, you can always find something to enjoy about it. But it was good. It was everything that I think I tweeted about and said, like, look, I cried. I cheered. I like screamed. It was good. And saying that it was better than Batman versus Superman, to me, is a good comparison. but yeah, it was for summer. I don't know if you want to call it a blockbuster, and it's not quite summer, but it was good. I enjoyed it. I'd go back and see it again. Now, yeah. I do think sometimes these movies run a little bit long. I mean, 2.5 hours for all these movies is a little bit much, but other than that, what else? What else from this week? What have you been excited about this week?
I've been setting up websites all week. I rewatched Jessica Jones with my mom, which yes. I hadn't rewatched Jessica at all.
Right, I have not either.
And I really enjoyed it the second time around.
I tried to the other day, going to queue it up, and of course my internet then would not let me queue it up. But I was like, let me rewatch this again with my mom. Let me see how this goes. And it just didn't ever work, and I haven't went back to it. But I definitely, because it'll be such a long period of time between season one and season two that you almost have to.
I don't know. I really, because I remember when I first watched it, I think the problem with it is it just needs some time. It's not action-packed enough that you can watch all 13 episodes and it grips episodes.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's not quite as bingey to me.
Yeah, but watching it slowly and a few episodes at a time, I really enjoyed it. More than the first time.
Yeah.
And I think, if nothing, I think the last episode of the season is important to rewatch. It has District Attorney Reyes in it. Totally missed that. But when she came up, I was like, oh my God, it's Reyes. And my mom's like, who the hell's that?
Yeah, I did not recognize her immediately from Jessica Jones when she shows up in Daredevil season two. I did not at all. Yeah. So
she is in it. And of course there's like, the people that show up in Daredevil that we know are like carryovers to other stuff, but enjoyed it. So I rewatched Jessica Jones, and then we were joking earlier this week about me discovering that Andrew Lincoln was British.
I thought you were like cracking a joke. I was like, is she for real?
I probably knew, but didn't,
because I thought that was one of those things that like everybody just knew and like laughed about, that it's a joke, haha, that he's British. Like, especially him being my husband and all, like Rick Grimes being my husband, I would have thought you would have known this.
See,
I'm sorry.
He's not my favorite on The Walking Dead.
I don't understand that. I don't understand why people. It's weird. It's weird how people gravitate towards Daryl. That's weird to me. I mean, I love Daryl. Don't get me wrong. Yeah. I love Daryl and I love Norman Reedus. I just don't know why people automatically almost just jump to Daryl.
We could do a whole episode on our feelings on The Walking Dead.
Yeah, we'll have to save that for.
I also watched Preacher.
Did you watch Preacher? What did you think?
It was interesting. I can't wait to see where it goes, because I haven't read the Preacher comics.
I have read book one, volume one, or whatever you want to of. Yeah. And my coworker also read it, and we came to the same conclusion. People tried to tell me that it was good. It's pretty much every fucking thing. The Preacher comic. And you're like, you get through and you're like, I don't know how they're going to translate this into a TV show. But I guess the same could be said about The Walking Dead. I have not read many Walking Dead comics, but it's a pretty rough, violent comic too. But no, and I was pleased watching the premiere and having read book one. I didn't want to read too far into the comics, you know, before season one, because I don't know how far they're going to go with it, you know. Didn't want to get too far ahead, kind of like with Game of Thrones. Didn't want to read too far ahead, but it's even my nephew was like, this looks pretty cool now. This is like nothing else on TV.
Yeah. Well, it was funny, 'cause I watched it with, like, I wanted to watch it earlier, but I had made my parents record it, and they watched The Walking Dead long before I did. Well, I spent the past week with my parents. And so, you know, I was like, hey, you know, Preacher's supposed to be the next Walking Dead type thing. You should record it. And all week, I was like, can we watch it now? Can we watch it now? And they're like, no, I have to do this. I have to do that. And so finally we watched it and we were done. Dad goes, well, that wasn't boring.
Right?
And I was like, yeah, I mean.
And I can understand if you have not read any of the background or know any of the comics, it does come across as, what the fuck is going on? What is this thing that's jumping in this dude at the end of this? You know, what is going on? But I think they'll get to it and they'll explain that and you'll see. And I mean, there's a vampire on the show. I mean, come on.
Yeah, I really liked the Irish vampire-ish type guy.
Yes, an assassin, a vampire, a preacher. I mean, come on. Good and evil.
Yeah.
I mean, that's life, right? Isn't that life?
So I'm excited.
Small town.
I'm excited to see where they take it.
Also British, by the way, Dominic Cooper. I don't know if you know that.
Preacher guy?
Also British. Also played Howard Stark in...
I was about to say, he's also Tony Stark's dad.
Yeah. Yeah. Or, well, he was. He wasn't in this last one, but yes. Yes.
Yeah, he's Tony Stark's young dad.
There you go.
Because he's the Agent Carter time frame. Howard Stark.
So hot. Shout out, Dominic Cooper. You are hot. Although, my heart belongs to Cassidy. I'm a Cassidy fangirl. The vampire.
Oh, okay. Is Cassidy his name or the actor's name?
No, that's his name. I don't even know the actor's name. Terrible. But yes, that's the character's name. Cassidy, Tulip, and Jesse.
Yeah, I liked the vampire. I was really glad he didn't, like, eat anybody there at the church. I didn't entirely understand why he ate everybody on the plane, but I'm sure that'll come out in time.
Well, they were vampire hunters. See, the first time I saw it, it just kind of goes by in such a little, you know, that whole hour and a half goes by so fast, and he sort of talks in a way you almost need subtitles, but I was like, what is going on this plane? They're vampire hunters.
Okay.
That's why when he comes out of the bathroom, and one's got the crossbow, like, already, like, you know, drawn on him and shit. And he's kind of like, how did you guys find me? So, there. That's why he had to kill everybody on the plane.
Because
they were trying to kill him. Yay! And then he just grabs the umbrella and fills up the bottle with blood and just jumps out the plane.
Yeah, and I like that the umbrella didn't survive and that plan obviously did not work.
And then he calls the cow over. He's like, come here.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that was the greatest thing, like, when they showed him in this giant crater, and I'm like, oh my god, of course the umbrella didn't work. That was a really horrible plan.
With his guts, like, hanging out.
Yeah, just like, that.
And then we go right to the next scene where Jesse's trying to talk to the lady who's supposedly getting hurt by her husband, and it's at the, like, the slaughterhouse kind of thing, and you just hear the cows in the background.
Yes.
and the girl pretty much telling him, oh no, I like when he hurts me, and the look on Jesse's face, like, oh, what the hell.
Yeah. I actually kind of believed he was a good preacher in that moment, where he's like,
he was
like, this is horrifying, I can't believe you're saying this.
Then of course it goes right into the bar fight, which is also cool. We get to see Jesse be a badass.
Yes.
But
yes.
Watch Preacher. Watch. It's airing again. Yeah. Like, there's an encore of it tonight. We don't get to see a new episode till next week. So, but they're supposed to have Talking Preacher this week.
Okay.
So yeah. So that's what else. What else has happened? Some pictures from like Luke Cage, right? Weren't there some pictures of a villain from Luke Cage this week?
That was actually the MCU Exchange put those up. The Luke Cage set picks.
I'm excited now. I'm ready. I realize we're probably still a little too far out, but I'm ready for a full trailer. I'm ready for a Luke Cage.
I am too, especially watching Jessica Jones again. You know, I got to see a lot more Luke. And I'm ready. I'm hyped up for Luke.
I'm hyped up for Luke and super freaking hyped up for Iron Fist.
Well, yeah.
Super hyped up for that. And trying to think what is next on the movie front after X-Men? I guess will be Suicide Squad.
Yes. And then Doctor Strange is in
the Oh my god, I was so pissed off yesterday because they did not show my favorite teaser. That teaser is my favorite teaser of all freaking time. Doctor Strange. And it's weird because I thought of all the Marvel movies, the ones coming out, I was like, this is probably going to be the one that I'm not into. I just don't know. Doctor Strange, fucking like magic fingers and shit. I don't know. And and then they show that, they show the Benedict Cumberbatch. I don't know. And I should have known because Tilda Swinton's in this movie and I love Tilda. But when they showed that teaser, all the way the fuck in. Like, okay, can it come out tomorrow, please? And then I have since now read, again, I'm late, have read comics and love the story. And yeah, let's get there. Can it be November now?
Yeah, I want to read some more Doctor Strange before November gets here.
Yeah, because I've probably watched that teaser trailer 100 times, probably.
Yeah. Well, and there's so much more. I mean, because I listened to the podcast with the screenwriter, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And wrote it up for the exchange. And it was just like, he was just like, that teaser trailer has so little in it.
Right? It doesn't really show anything, but what it does, I don't know what it does to you. It did.
Yeah.
It's something to my entire body. I don't know what.
Well, and it set the world on fire as far as all kinds of things, but he was like, there is just so much more that this movie is going to be so.
Like, at the end, when it's over, when he says, teach me, that's me. Teach me.
Yeah.
Oh, God. But, yes, yeah, so I was pissed that I didn't get to see the teaser again for that. Because they did show it before Civil War. And my sister and I nearly, like, came up out of our seats. Really? Yay! And then, but we did see Suicide Squad again yesterday. So it was like, yay!
Well, and there's a new trailer for Suicide Squad, right?
Like, yeah, I think there's, like, 3 full trailers for Suicide Squad. This is the one that's got plays Ballroom Blitz is the song. That's how I know him. Like,
all right, because there's Bohemian Rhapsody and the Ballroom Blitz.
Yeah, and then the first one, which I was kind of like, I don't know where this movie's going. The first one, it didn't sell me completely on it, but the second one is pretty much Bohemian Rhapsody. One is pretty much perfection. That is, it's a perfect trailer. It's good, and then Ballroom Blitz one. Yay! And then we get like Doctor Strange, and then we get like Black Panther. Yay! All the things. Oh my god! I mean, that's just it, people. There's something to be excited about all the time, all the time. There's new comics coming out like every month, every week almost. Something to be excited about.
Well, and that's, I mean, I haven't even kept up with the new comics. Like, I've been reading the new Daredevil series.
I have as well, although I have not read number 7, what we're on now.
Yeah, I haven't either. I
have not read 7 yet. I'm trying to, like Rhiannon tells me, save my money, because this is what Shelby does. Shelby has subscribed to a print subscription from Marvel, because that's like old school to me. Like, yeah, you get something in the mail every month, and it is cheaper. It does end up being cheaper than buying it issue by issue. But then Shelby couldn't wait for it to come by mail. So Shelby spent $4 and bought it digitally so she could read it before it came in the mail. And then if it had an alternate cover that Shelby liked, Shelby would also buy that. There are some issues that I own 5 times. Five, Rhiannon.
That could pay for an Uber in New York.
It's a little extreme, but oh my god, they do like these, especially like issue number 1 of the new Punisher, I think maybe had 10 different covers, 8 or 9. I mean, it's crazy.
Yeah, true.
The different the variant covers, I'm sorry, whatever you want to call them, alternate variant covers. But yeah, so
because there's I counter all of Shelby's overpurchases by reminding her that we'll have a trip to New York City. And she needs
save
to save her money.
And then I'm like, fuck money.
Yeah. So if I'm ever just like, Shelby, remember New York. That's what I'm talking about. Because Shelby will spend all but her money.
I do try to spread the joy when I get an extra copy of the comic to spread the digital love and give away the digital copy because I want one more person to get as hooked on shit as I am. So
true.
I do try, and I, you know, hey, at least maybe, you know, if nobody else does, I will support the entire comic industry just myself. I'll just buy all the things.
That's true. And I haven't downloaded it. You gave me that Black Panther code and I haven't downloaded it.
Oh, I don't know yet. I didn't know if that worked or not. When I pulled it off, it sort of fucked up. But have you read Punisher number one?
No.
Didn't I? Okay. You're behind.
I'm behind. Jesus. I know. I've been setting up websites and podcasts.
I know. You've been doing all the work. I'll let you, but by next week we need to have read, I hope my Daredevil number 7 comes this week so we can talk about that. We can talk about that series.
By next week, I'll have Daredevil number 7.
Because that's probably a good hour long just talking about that series. You know, we're 7 issues in, so.
Yeah.
We can probably. Or maybe it's not. We'll see. We'll see what tangent we go off on.
Yeah, I think there's good things to talk about in that. And do we get a new Game of Thrones this week?
New Game of Thrones. Yes. Okay. Hold the door. You saw it last week then.
Yeah, I saw it last week. Okay, so major Game of Thrones spoilers for anybody.
Yeah, you have in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. But again, it's been a week, so hey, what the fuck are you doing? But yes.
Right.
Go ahead, continue.
We'll be tolerant and we'll try, but though I really do, because Game of Thrones, I almost have to watch the next day because I watch it on HBO Go. Or I go to bed early. And this past week, I mean, like, maybe people felt like they weren't spoiling, but when you watch Game of Thrones and you put a character's name and a crying face.
Yeah.
That's telling people they died. Like,
right.
The only time that reactions like that on the internet were wrong is when everybody was going, Carol! And it was that Carol on The Walking Dead had actually saved everybody.
Yeah.
But hold the door.
That was...
I totally knew what I was getting going in because everybody had done little Hodor crying face. So...
I think Game of Thrones is the 1 hour that my sister and I will sit there and pretty much not say anything the whole entire hour to each other because we're just like, oh my God, you know, and because at least with The Walking Dead, you get commercial. You watch it live. You have commercial breaks in between. You can stop and talk and go, what the fuck's going to happen? With this, it's just like, holy shit. And, you know, you watch the wolf, you know, here's another wolf dies, Summer dies, and you're like, oh shit, oh fuck. And then then when she says hold the door, oh god, oh
yeah.
That was the only thing though, is that sometimes I don't know if I fully understand the time travel part of it a little bit.
Well, that's what I wanted to talk about, because Mark Bernardin went on that big rant about the time travel.
To quote Mark Bernardin, or sort of quote him, what he said was he didn't need time travel peanut butter in his Game of Thrones chocolate.
Yeah. And I didn't see it as time travel.
I see, it's weird because I'd sort of had the same conversation too with somebody this week about that. I just, it's not something that we've understand fully from episode one. So I don't know, and maybe somebody who's read the books or somebody who has a better theory or whatever can understand. You don't know, does Bran in that moment, Bran in the past, is he going back and working into Hodor to hold the door? Is old man Bran the one who warged into Hodor into the future in that moment? So that that's the part I don't really fully understand, and I don't guess it really much matters, but... There are lots of theories now running around pretty much that Bran can, that there are several brands that have existed and he's pretty much all of them.
Oh.
So, yeah.
See, I didn't pay enough attention in earlier seasons and stuff to catch all of that. Like that there were different brands or whatever. But my thought was that Bran was never physically in this. When he goes back in his visions, he's in present day, but he's seeing these visions. And the old man told him, like, if you stay there too long, there's trouble.
Right, but is that old man Bran, like, in the future? That's what I'm saying. Did old man Bran go back?
Did old man Bran go back and tell Hodor to hold the door? And it wasn't.
Yeah.
See, but I still, like, it's still, the whole point that I felt that was conveyed was, here are rules. The rule is, you don't spend too much time watching these visions.
Yeah.
And Bran slipped in and just kept going back, trying to be in this time where he saw his dad, where he saw Hodor. And he stayed there too long.
Because there's also,
and therefore, theory, like, where he was, like, it was a punishment almost. Like, you were there too long, and therefore you caused this guy to have a seizure, and things from your time are slipping through, which isn't supposed to happen.
Yeah.
And it fucked everything up.
Yeah. Well, that's what sort of lingering in the past or whatever, if you change that one thing, you know, what have you fucked with? What have you changed? I don't know. Yeah. But
it was very Outlander timeline thing where and I know you don't watch Outlander, but the Outlander theory of time travel is everything that you change in the past has already been changed. So you cannot change what happens.
But I will also, you know, to kind of what Kevin said too, though, that I think they used it perfectly. I mean, time travel or not or whatever, I think to tell that story, it was a perfect use of it to tell that story. So we'll just see where it goes. If Bran keeps going back and, you know, and I don't know, as long as they maybe explain it a little bit better, what's going on, because at first it does seem like he's just observing what happened.
Yeah.
And then I don't know if I get the feeling that he can change what happened. And that's what some of these people's theories are kind of going with, that there's been brands all along that have, like, changed things, that even back when the Mad King, when Jaime is saying that the Mad King kept repeating, burn them all. And that's all he kept saying.
Was
actually, you know, one of those moments where. Yeah. So I don't know, but. I love Game of Thrones fan theories, because they're the best. Because there are people who watch this show that are so much fucking smarter than I am. Pick up on this, so much smarter. And I don't even think it's even people necessarily that's read the books or whatever. They pick up on so much. But what if? What if this happens? What if? Oh, fuck. I haven't even thought about that. Just, I'm really hoping that maybe the dog we thought was Shaggy Dog, maybe Shaggy Dog's not dead. That's all I can think of, is hopefully maybe Shaggy Dog's not really dead. And maybe Ramsay doesn't kill anybody this week.
Maybe. Yeah. That's what I mean. Like, you know, you obviously watch, like, the whole episodes and stay awake until the end, which, you know, sometimes I just skip forward and watch the next week's previously ons. And
yeah, you're like, where's my night of flowers?
Fall asleep halfway, yeah.
Where's like, baby? Where's baby Iron
Fist? If it was you or my mom that was like, a dire wolf died, like, last week. And I'm like, what the hell are you talking about? Like, she's like, there was, you know, the kid and the dire wolf head. And I'm like, I should probably try staying awake till the end of the episode. But
yeah.
Yeah, so my Game of Thrones, your Game of Thrones theories will always be better thought out than me. Whereas, like, I mean, like, I see, I'm a big Outlander fan because I read all of those books, and I've met Diana Gabaldon, who created the series, or who wrote the books. I actually called her a bitch to her face, which I don't recommend. But watching that series, like, I don't remember the early books enough, so I'm just, like, just enough, like, oh, it's the early days of this character, it's the early days of this character, and and everything still surprises me, and I hear that there are people on the internet that are in, like, outrage that they changed things, and I'm like, I don't remember any of this stuff.
But things have to be changed, otherwise, I mean, just read the book.
But even still, I mean, that show, because each week I'm like, why am I excited to watch it? I know what's going to happen. Like, the big details, you know, like, if you've read the books for Game of Thrones, you know,
right,
certain people are going, you know, like, you know, Ned Stark will be beheaded. You know, that is no surprise. And, you know, same with Outlander. There are big benchmarks, which I won't go into those because, you know, you might watch it one day.
But, I might,
there are big benchmarks. You know, there's character deaths. There are character rapes. There are character genitalias that are cut off, just like Game of Thrones.
Yes.
But it's still interesting to see how they get it there. And it's interesting to see how they bring everybody to life. And I'm really excited to watch it every week for those reasons. Like, how will they bring this character to life? How will they
right.
do these things? How will they get the little details out? So, yeah, you should watch Outlander so we can talk about that one too. Because then I can be here and be like, ha ha, I know what happens.
Yeah, I wanted to Outlander. Well, I think I tried like the first episode, but you know, sometimes things just don't catch you at the right time. And if you go back to it, then you're like, what? This is the greatest shit ever. What am I talking about?
Like with Outlander, like you could skip some episodes. Because when people are reading the books, I say you could, you know, like read the first 200 pages and they're going to bore you, but keep reading them because it'll pick up. And the TV show followed that same boredom. Like, the first episode sucks.
Yeah.
The first season, there are parts where I'm just like, why did we need that? We didn't need that. Don't do that shit. Just move along and get to the part with the stuff and the stuff.
And the thing that happens.
And the thing and the climax and the resolution and then the makeup sex. And really, I've been joking the whole time with Outlander that I'm just really excited for them to get to season 3 because everything is working up to season 3.
Well, that's, you know, like last season, Game of Thrones did nothing for me.
Right.
Nothing for me last season. I was like, oh, God. But this season, every episode, it almost feels like they're moving at this point too fast with some things, which is fine because I love it. And they're giving me exactly what I want. Exactly. But
it's a season of badass women.
Yeah. Yeah. Sansa.
Yeah.
Dany, you know.
Yeah.
Arya. Brienne. Oh, I love Brienne so much.
Right.
Yeah. I love that Sansa is pretty much like, she's acting like Catelyn. You know, like, it's, I love to see badass Sansa. It's time. It's freaking time we got to see badass Sansa.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, you know, look. All she's been through, good God.
Right? Maybe good fucking she God. Goes back and kills Bolton.
Is there any way, though, at this point that Ramsay dies that is going to be satisfying enough? I mean, how can they kill Ramsay so horrifically that we would be like, yes.
God, Well, and now the water people, Theon, the Greyjoys,
they're on the run, the salt god people.
Are they gonna end up?
I don't know where they were headed. That was craziness. I'm like, are they headed to like tell Dany what's going on? Are they headed to I don't know, are they headed to Winterfell? Where are they going? Where are what is her name?
I don't know what her name is. Bitchy sister and Theon. I'm doing good to know Theon's name and not just call him Reap.
Oh, I love Theon. I love Theon so much. Yeah, I don't remember her name, but her.
Yeah.
Yeah. The water queen and then the crazy uncle. And then Ian McShane shows up at some time to bring somebody back to life. So I don't know if that's tonight.
Oh.
Yeah. And rumor has it, it's going to be the Hound. So.
Ooh.
Oh, that'll be exciting.
But as far as ways that Ramsay could die, that would be satisfying. I think, like, a long drawn out, keeping him in some sort of pit where they could cut off his hands.
Yeah, just one dish at a time. And then leave him alive.
And then, yeah, just, like, piece by piece. And from The Princess Bride, the whole, like, you know, no, your ears will be last so you can hear the scream of every babe. Dear God, what is that thing? Like, to the pain for Ramsay Bolton. To the pain.
Yeah. I mean, my God. There's part of me, though, that just wants Ghost to end it. If Ghost can stay alive long enough, I sort of want Ghost to just rip his throat out. If Ghost can have that moment, that would be great, too. Because here's somebody who fed his, like, little brother to the dogs. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
And so we'll see. And I'm ready for Dany to come back in with her Dothraki herd and like ride a dragon again. Let's go. And for Tyrion to ride a dragon, and we'll see. And for Jon Snow to ride his dragon. That's what I think.
Dragons for everybody.
Tyrion on the dragon. True. And I don't know tonight if also is tonight the night that Jaime goes at it with the High Sparrow again, like the troops from Highgarden show up, which I think that's, again, I'm just me thinking here. I'm thinking that's all just a setup. I think the Lannisters totally know that the Tyrells helped kill Joffrey, and they're fixing to bring down the Tyrells. That's what I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just took a nap there because you were talking about Game of Thrones. And
sorry. I think Baby Iron Finn might be on his way out.
Baby Iron Finn. Also, while you were talking, there were squirrels having sex outside my window, and that was really intriguing.
That's awesome.
And I was Baby Iron Finn. Yes, Baby Iron Finn.
Baby Iron Finn was so pitiful the other week when he was just like, make it stop. And Marjorie's like, oh my God, grow like some balls, please. No, just make it stop.
Right.
So I don't know if maybe from that moment we're supposed to assume that Baby Iron Finn like cracked and told the High Sparrow what his family did, you know?
Yeah, I think that's likely.
And that's where Tommen got his information from the High Sparrow, because the High Sparrow told him some shit. And then, you know, Mama Cersei is like, what the fuck did he tell you? And Baby Tommen's like, oh, he told me this shit. And then Cersei's ready to, like, kick ass. So, because she can't stand the fucking Tyrells anyways. So, go Lannisters! Yay! Yeah!
All right. So I think that's a good place to stop it.
Yeah.
And
sounds good.
Yeah. So that's our first podcast.
We haven't like bored everybody to death.
I know. Well,
I hope it made some kind of sense.
Yeah.
We do jump around a lot.
I was about to say, that's probably giving you a feeling of who we are and what we're going to do. Yeah,
as it goes, we will probably get more of an outline and more of a, hey, what's new this week? Yeah. Hey, let's talk about this and stay more like on a topic. So,
and let us know what you want us to talk about. We may not do it, but
I need a new fandom to get into. Tell me something new to get into.
Yeah, should exactly. I watch? That's what we need. We need like reading or watching recommendations.
Yeah. Should I watch like Penny Dreadful? Should that be my new thing? You know?
Yeah. Should I? What's on Netflix that I should watch? I tried getting into The 100.
I have not tried that yet. I do want to try that. I'm into iZombie. I'm into season two.
Yeah.
I'm into season two of iZombie. Love it. It gives me feels. It gives me.
Yeah. I don't know how much iZombie I watched, but I watched a lot.
And yeah, and season two should probably be on there about the same time season two of Flash, I would think, is on Netflix. You should definitely keep watching Arrow. Give it a try. Although I know people are not real happy with Arrow right now at the moment, but the early Arrow is worth watching.
Yeah, and I've enjoyed what I've been watching of Arrow. I've been working through.
I think with all shows like that, they do run into some problems with a season. As long as they have, they do run into some episodes that you're just like, oh God. Or an arc that's too long or whatever. But
you know, that's something I loved. I watched Vampire Diaries religiously, like crazy Vampire Diaries watcher. And one thing I love about that show is that Julie Plec was like, I will not drag anything on for more than four episodes.
Yeah.
And I want to just, like, send her a big hug for that reason.
Yeah.
Because there is nothing that just drags on, you know, like my bitching about the Americans. You know, there is nothing that comes up that anybody is hiding from anybody that they don't find out within 4 episodes. And that is so refreshing.
You should. The Americans this season has been good.
Has it?
Yes.
Okay.
But there's still like a good 70% of the time. I just sometimes don't know what's going on The Americans, but that's just because I think I'm too dumb for the show sometimes. Or it goes back to a character that you might have seen last season and you can't fucking remember what in the fuck they were doing with this person. So you just go, you just go with it. You're like, okay, whatever. They're just doing some spy Russian shit with this person.
And the previous Leons don't explain that. See, like, I like to watch the previous Leons because I feel like they usually update you.
Well, the previous Leons sometimes, like, show the person, like, last season. You're like, oh, here's Philip and this, you know, baby, this young chick. But you don't really remember, like, what was he working her for?
Yeah.
That kind of, but no, it's definitely, the season is so much better than last season. I was ready to quit, but then I was like, no. And it's been renewed for 2 more final seasons. So, you know, it's headed somewhere. True. And I think it's good. I think that's good. That they owed that show that much to let it finish up. Yeah. So, tell us what we should watch, what we should read, what we should talk about, what we should shut the fuck up about.
We may ignore you, but we might listen to you.
We might read your tweet like live on the air. We might ask you to join us to talk about it.
You can send us letters on the internet. We have a Gmail account, super late.
Oh, I thought you meant for a second, like real like letters, like put a stamp on it and like mail it.
I mean, if you want to put a stamp and mail us shit, as long as it's not glitter bombs.
Yay, glitter.
You can mail us stuff, just email us and I'll send you a mailing address.
There you go.
Yeah, as long as it's friendly stuff and you're not gonna like send us mail bombs. But in the meantime, if you don't live in 1998 with Shelby, you can send us this thing called electronic mail. Right. And we actually have an email address set up. It's superlaties@gmail.com.
Oh, that's so clever.
And we also have a contact form on our website. So we have a website, superlaties.com.
Yay!
All of it with just a T instead of the D. So superlaties, but it's got a T instead of the D. So there should be a contact form there, and that should go to our email. And if it doesn't, just tweet at us and be like, why the fuck are you ignoring me? Because I know how to work the Twitter.
The Twitter.
I know we will see your tweets if you tweet at us. That's like the most reliable way to get us is through the Twitter.
Yeah, don't Facebook message.
Oh, God, no. Yeah, we are on Facebook. We do have a Facebook page.
We do, and I could not figure out how to like my own page.
I know,
so
you haven't liked the page. Shelby has not liked the Facebook page.
But I did fix us a group name. I made it at Super Ladies, so I did fix that. It like told me to do stuff, and I did it. I just couldn't figure out where the like button was.
So we might be facebook.com/superladies.
I think so. That's what I tried to do.
Oh, cool. Yeah, so all other forms of contact are kind of unreliable. The Twitter is reliable.
The Twitter?
Superlaties@gmail.com should be reliable. I might forget to look at it, but I should at some point set up for it to forward to my other email.
Oh, yeah.
You can find Shelby on the Twitter.
Or are you asking me my Twitter? What is it?
It's Evil Annabelle. I don't know. I always have to look up Shelby's Twitter.
I don't know if it has an underscore, though. That's what I don't.
Yeah.
Let me see. What is it? This is terrible.
There is a link to it from our website. So if you just go to the contact us page on our website. Just... I wrote all of our Twitter handles.
Yeah, there we go. @EVOL_Annabelle. That's what I am. It's a long story, but there you go.
But there's like 2 L's and 2 E's. And
yeah.
It's on our website.
It's on the website. Annabelle Lee. Yeah. There we go.
Yeah. And I'm Shada Patron, which you don't have to do any of the like tildes over letters or anything. Shada Patron. And you also don't have to spell Rhiannon to make it happen. So It's easier for me to tell people.
Rhiannon's still easier to spell than evil Annabelle. So there you go. With or without the underscore.
Yeah, because there's lots of... I mean, every time I go to type in your name, I'm just like, are there two N's, two L's, two B's? It's...
Yeah, I know. I didn't think... I'm the worst, like, namer ever, whatever you call that. I never knew what to put. Like, since 1998, I haven't known what my name should be. So there you go.
Which circles back to us taking a month to name the podcast.
That's right.
And I mean, seriously, we might have started it like 6 months ago if somebody had been like, you guys should start a podcast and call it Super Ladies.
Yay! And then it would have, then I would have had to download Skype. And
true.
Yeah. We could at least got started like 3 months ago.
Right. The real accomplishment, again, Shelby downloaded Skype. And
that this is working. Now, if we were trying to do video, which we may move up to in like 3 years, we may move up to a video broadcast, but yeah, it probably wouldn't work. Sorry. Yeah. Shout out to Windstream.
I mean, we wouldn't be as cool as Kevin and Mark. I mean, the Fat Man on Batman YouTube show, because we're not sitting in the same place.
That's true. Yeah, that would.
And because
yeah, but
I really have a face for radio.
Well, you know what? We'll see what happens in New York. Who knows what we videotape and
try. Oh, yeah. There may be YouTube videos from our trip to New York.
Yeah, just stay tuned for that.
I may throw some YouTube videos up on our website from, like, because I have some videos of you and Munchkin dancing in the subway.
Oh, God, yes. And I was going to say, I have some, like, pictures that I took of our hotel room where we hold up to watch
Oh, that's right.
Daredevil.
That's
so
right.
I have that, too.
So we'll put some content on our website if you really want a visual reference to go with our voices.
We'll also try to come up with like some like reading lists, tell you what to read, where you should, you know.
Yeah.
That kind of stuff.
I am going to have the quote unquote show notes up on our website and in the iTunes land. I assume I can make them go out with this podcast so they're like on your phone and everything. Where if we talk about stuff, hopefully I'll link to it.
Yes.
I mean, like, this is all going to be good and thorough right now because I'm waiting for a contract to come in and to go to work. Once I'm working, the podcast will probably just be a pile of shit where we put together and get it uploaded.
Yeah.
But I will still check Twitter. That's the thing. The podcast might have no notes, might be nothing, but I will still see tweets if you tweet them at us.
We're doing this, people. We're doing this.
We're doing it.
We're doing it.
If I get, like, I mean, if my job calls me up and says I need to send you to rural Alaska, as long as I can get, like, circa 1998 internet.
That's all you need is a 56K modem and 1998 internet. And
right.
Yeah, that's it.
Right. I have the rest of this gear can travel. So, yeah. I'm excited about this. I'm excited about it. So tell us that you're excited about it because we'll do more of it. I mean, like, if you're excited about it, that'll get Shelby all riled up and then she'll run around and do her yay thing.
I'll get excited. They'll get excited. It'll be anarchy. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So, all right. Thanks, guys.
Yeah,
maybe
thanks,
there'll
guys.
Be music here when we're done or something.
Like that.